This is an Enterprise Times security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with René Bader from NTT Security.
Thank you, Ian, for giving me the chance to talk to you. I'm René Bader, heading at NTT Security, what we call Competence Center Secure Business Applications within EMEA, which means securing any kind of standard enterprise applications like SAP landscapes, database landscapes, somewhat new topics like a connected car, blockchains, all these innovative themes and topics what we currently have in our security community.
Companies are rushing to move applications to the cloud. In some cases, they're actually rewriting them, but in many cases, they're trying to take applications that they had in a secure environment on their enterprise, and they're putting them into a space that they don't really understand. They don't understand the security. When you talk to customers about secure applications and securing their databases, what are the first challenges they hit?
The first challenge what we see when we're talking with the customers is get them away from these infrastructure perspective. What we currently do is looking from an application perspective. If I secure my applications and the data that were handled with those applications, it doesn't matter if you have a cloud or a hybrid or on-premise or whatever infrastructure. Of course, you need some specific triggers for on-premise or for cloud. But if you cover the application level itself, it doesn't matter what type of infrastructure you're using to publishing data or applications somewhere out in the organization or somewhere in cloud or whatever. This is the first challenge because most of the customers out there are still on that level. I need some infrastructure security. I need firewalls. I need web application firewalls maybe. We have to change the view on the security topic we are talking about. The second thing is that these days applications from a communication perspective are totally changing. In the past, we had kind of island solutions. So SAP is an island. No one has access from outside, but it's changing now. We now have typical web-based communication. Everything is open. Everything can communicate via web services, microservices, XML-based, somewhere in the world. The first thing I ask my customers is always, okay, now you have applications talking to everything in the world. Are you talking to each other within your company? Because this is something that has also needs to be changed. You do not have different dedicated departments as of now, one for the infrastructure, one for the operating system, one for the application itself. You have to work together. You have to talk with each other now as applications do now. And then you can start the security thing because we are lacking more and more resources. You do not have the people that can handle the operations, that can handle projects and all that stuff. You need to find a way to, let's say, automate such processes and automate security processes to make sure that your applications that are out there are communicate and operate in a secure way.
One of the mechanisms we're using for that communication is APIs. One of the challenges is that organizations internally, when they use an API, they don't security validate it. They don't look at how clean it is. They don't keep it short and sharp. They don't break it up into smaller APIs. Once it becomes more public, once it starts to interact with multiple applications, those APIs become a security risk. When you're talking with customers, how many of them understand the risk and how many of them have a process to break monolithic APIs down into smaller, manageable APIs that are much more focused and therefore can be secured?
I wouldn't say none of our customers, but only a minor part. Let's say 5 to 10% have a strong security focus when it comes to API. Most, it's more functional, technical focus. You need to deploy an API in a very fast, in a very easy way. It must be cheap. So security, it's more like a blocker. Let's keep it out and push the service out there, and then we are fine. From a security perspective, yeah, okay, let's do some authentication and maybe some transport encryption. And when we then come to have a review or do some security reviews on that, and we're asking, okay, you're using REST, I guess. And most of the customers are, yes, of course. From a developer perspective, yes, it's easy to implement, it's fast, all you need for pushing the service within seconds. From a security perspective, I would say, well, could be done better because yes, you have some authentication. Yes, you have some transport encryption, but what's with the data? There's this famous Microsoft transport encryption example driving a naked motorcycle or something like that, where one Microsoft guy explains the difference between having no encryption, having just transport encryption, and having data encryption. It's like, okay, with transport encryption, you could use even no encryption, because there are always some breakpoints to break the transport encryption, check the data, manipulate the data, and move the manipulated data to the endpoint. With data encryption, most of the time, you're not able to do these manipulations. When it comes to web services, based on REST APIs, it's actually not possible to do this. Or with a huge amount of resources and knowledge and brain to implement some sort of data security for those services, which then is also contrary to fast and agile. So it's always that challenge what we're facing with the customer.
One of the challenges that sits alongside this is not just how secure is the data, but compliance. And compliance brings a whole bunch of difficult problems to us. When you're talking to customers about their distributed systems, their move to cloud, the size of their databases that are now sometimes split across multiple continents, do they understand how they're going to keep control of their data from a compliance perspective, particularly when it might impact the performance of an application? Or is their focus the application comes first?
It's still applications comes first because they are not familiar with security features they can implement, for example, on a database level. It's always like these silos. Okay, we have our database administrators and they don't touch my database, especially with some security features that might have some impact on the performance, because then I have to handle these escalations with the application department and I do not want that. The first thing we show when we try to implement security features is the performance impact of and security feature on a database level. With today's technology, hardware, virtualization technology, whatever, the performance impact is about 3-4% on the CPU usage, which is nothing. It's the same with encryption. When you say, okay, we need data encryption, we have all these distributed databases, we have links between developer databases, between staging, between production, from an attacker's perspective, it's easy to, well, jump on the developer's workstation, hack the data and move forward to the production systems, or even you have a copy from the production data to the development areas or something like this. Still common today. When it comes to data encryption in such an environment, it's still, we cannot implement because we cannot handle the key management, we cannot handle the performance, we cannot do nothing. No, there are solutions out there that can do this. You don't have to take care on this. Just use this solution, this, well, let's call it infrastructure solution, and you're at least 50 to 60% fine. Of course, you have to change maybe your application logic, but this is something they can handle.
When we talk about solutions, of course, one of the emerging solutions that everybody seems to think is going to solve their data and their database problem is blockchain. It's becoming a problem because the vast majority of blockchain proposals out there can be solved by existing technology solutions that we have. When you talk with customers and when you walk around shows and you listen to people, how distorted is that filter of what people think could be a blockchain solution to what realistically can be solved by existing technology today?
Most of the people out there have the idea and doing everything with blockchain because it's the new buzzword. Everyone has a Bitcoin account and everyone is using blockchain, and most of the people didn't understand so far the difference between blockchain as a technology and how I can use a technology for building applications and Bitcoin, because they say, okay, blockchain is Bitcoin and blockchain is cryptocurrency and nothing more. No, it's not. Blockchain, it's a technology, and you can use this technology and can implement this technology in an application, in a use case you want to cover, for example, with some specific application. What they also need to have in mind is blockchain, it's a technology for building trust between partners in such an, well, let's call it a network based on this application. You do not want, for example, implement one-to-one relationship. You rely on a technology like blockchain to make sure that the transactions that are handled in these applications are trusted, and I can trust my partners because we are working all on the same technology, on the same level, and I, well, let's say, trust on the technology itself that everything is fine and secure.
But if I think back to distributed databases, and we've had these for 30 plus years now, we have audit trails, encryption. We have a whole bunch of security features built into these products purely and simply to establish trust. What makes a differentiator between a blockchain distributed database application and the trust that it brings, and taking existing technologies that would lower the entry bar, lower the cost, and in many ways solve what people want to do using established proven technology?
The main idea behind blockchain was to share data within a large community. If you have distributed databases, then you have a very, well, let's call it small community taking part in this application area. Maybe you have company A with some partners, some suppliers or so, and you have a very good overview who is sharing data or who has transactions within those very close community. The idea behind blockchain was to get rid of this close community and have a more, well, let's say, brighter approach to say, okay, we have these worldwide communities, they all sharing the same ideas, same topics, crypto transactions or currency transactions, and they want to stay anonymous. It's like hard coin in your pocket, in your wallet. We want to use this as it is, and no one takes care who you are when you pay a product in a shop. It's kind of the same idea behind blockchain. And the first use case for that was then to prove the technology by building the Bitcoin application as a cryptocurrency and share this in a very bright and a large community. So it's easy to contribute for a partner within this network. You just have to install some sort of mining application and maybe some wallet for restoring these currencies, and that's it. It's fast and easy. So if you have a distributed database area, then you have to distribute these database applications, these management services, the security functions several times around the world, and it's not like sharing or downloading a simple text file with some hash values in there.
But if we look at enterprises are not going to have millions of endpoints. They're not looking to mine a cryptocurrency. They're looking to use blockchain to solve a business problem. That means those programs that we have seen going forward have been permissioned, i.e. owned by one or a very small number of individuals. They are controlled. There might be 500 people in, but there will only be maybe 10 or 12 computers involved. So they can bring the transaction level up. They can control what's going on. How does an enterprise decide when it should move into this permissioned controlled space compared to how it would have solved the problem 5 years ago?
They're doing this because of just the blockchain hype. Everyone is talking about blockchain, so everyone wants to have a blockchain application. Yes, they can do this with technology they already have up and running. It's not a sophisticated thing. That's a hype. No, everyone is talking about blockchain, so everyone needs a blockchain. No one takes really care on the use case he want to cover and if it's really necessary to use blockchain. It's like, can we do it with blockchain? Yes, of course. Oh, let's do it blockchain. No one is then really doing detailed requirements analysis and say, okay, what's the use case we want to cover and how can we cover this with the technology that is around? It could be blockchain. Yes, that could be also some, for example, distributed databases, or that could be just a fat client somewhere on a shared storage where everyone has access to. No one is doing a really detailed requirements analysis and thinking about the security features they would need for such a use case. Most of the times what we see with our customers, it's when we get presented to a specific blockchain application. Look, we did that and we put that here in our blockchain and 5 people around the world are using this for storing some transactions data for some clicks they did once a month or so. And we have a blockchain application. And we always like, okay, but why? This is not a typical use case for a blockchain. A blockchain needs a lot of transactions, thousands of transactions per second, and you need a larger community taking part in these transactions. And in best case, you even know your partner, but you rely on the trust relationship of your blockchain application. Then you can store these transactions in a blockchain, and then you're sure you have some sort of accountability that everything that happens in this network happens in a correct way, in a secure way. This is something missing today. Everyone is pushing something in a blockchain application, but it's not covering things like why I'm doing this, because I have actually to do this because of the trust I want to build with this application.
We're seeing two very big applications come along that seem to be adopted or are being adopted by organizations. The first is in the banking industry with Know Your Customer, where the complexity of onboarding a commercial customer requires a lot of documentation and a lot of proof. The second is in the supply chain. Once again, it's a complicated environment. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of documentation around, and people are looking at blockchain for storing key elements of the metadata to speed up the processing. But there's a challenge here. The blockchain is great for storing that metadata, but that metadata relies upon a large body of information that isn't stored within the chain. When we look at implementations, we see a lot of blockchains that are doing very well with that metadata, but they don't seem to be putting the same amount of effort into securing that underlying data and to replicating that underlying data in such a way that the metadata on the blockchain, when a block needs to refer to it, can find it, identify it, and display it. That hints at the need for blockchain applications to be tied to traditional databases and some of those technologies. Are you seeing customers beginning to think about the underlying data that the blockchain references and how they're going to secure that and make that move in lockstep with the blockchain?
We see some first initiatives on that. Because as you said, you usually have a central point where you store your metadata, because then it's easy for every single, let's say, blockchain file to access those metadata, and you do not have to distribute these metadata with your blockchain file. If you look at the Bitcoin file, which is 80 gigabytes as of now, maybe more, also putting in some metadata there, you won't be able to distribute this across this large community. When you have some private communities, very private blockchain applications, you can easily implement security measurements for those metadata because all are on the same security level and you do not have those very large community for implementing those encryption features you need and decryption features you need for making sure the metadata are stored, for example, in a secure way in your database, because you also have to handle those encryption decryption processes then within your community. My opinion, it will be implemented in the near future in private area, but you won't find such things in a very public or especially in large public blockchain applications like Bitcoin or so.
If I was to come to you as a customer and say, look, we're thinking of abandoning our database project that we have at the moment and building a blockchain-based solution, what would you say to me?
Taking your example with the Know Your Customer in the banking infrastructure, we had several customer requests on that. Could you offer a blockchain or generic application database, some infrastructure level or so? And could you explain what are the difference between those and what could be the better one? For us, it's always, okay, can you tell us how many transactions you will have in that? How big is your community? And then decide if you want to go blockchain or if you want to go traditional. If you have a lot of transactions, Know Your Customer in the banking infrastructure. If you have a large bank, yes, you maybe have some large transactions. But how often changes these personal account information of a customer? Well, the core data, maybe once in 2 or 3 years, if you are lucky. Of course, the transactions data, like how he moves his money around specific products of the bank, yes, that changes a lot somehow. So it would be a good idea to use a blockchain technology. You need to build up some knowledge on that because most of our customers have nearly no experience with blockchain and with having the knowledge on what happens in the blockchain. So you have to build some knowledge and resources up there. On the other hand, you have your standard IT where you have your knowledge. You know, you have your database administrators, you have your application owners and your application administrators. They know how to handle these. In the end, it's an operational decision to say, okay, either go blockchain or go traditional way. We can support both. For us, in such a use case, both would be feasible. There are other use cases like the power supply, when you have your end customers providing your power consumption data to the power supply company. Then, for example, a blockchain would be a good idea because you have a lot of transactions. So you need a very scalable solution. And you need to make sure that customer A is really customer A sending these power consumption data to the company. So a blockchain technology would be nice to have, also easy to implement.
In that banking scenario, one of the things that we do today is we have a database by which the banks know who the customer is. And then they have other things they sell the customer. They might be selling pensions, they might be selling insurance, they might be selling other financial products. But those will all be held in their own databases. And therefore they interact between these databases. When you're talking with customers who are coming along with potential blockchain projects, how many of them are looking at interoperability with other blockchain projects that they're running, or even interoperability with other applications? Because that is an element that's not really being talked about a lot.
Most of our customers, it's like an experimental field having some blockchain applications up and running. Most of our customers still going the traditional way. To have the traditional applications building some APIs then to different other applications and sharing data between those. Blockchain is kind of a playground. It might change now, for example, with the new PSD2 compliance standard in Europe, where you have to open your internal customer data to also external third-party organizations, like the web shop that handled some customer data, where a banking customer buys something, or some fintech startups, they want to implement a mobile application and sharing all your account information from different banks, from insurance companies in one mobile app. You have to open these internal applications now to external partners. Implementing security features on a traditional applications for a third party, it's much more difficult than doing, for example, implementing blockchain application. Those third-party organizations take part in this blockchain technology. So maybe it's an idea to build a dedicated blockchain application for this use case, and then you have a very specific use case with very dedicated security requirements you can easily cover with those technology. And then sharing the internal data across those blockchain technology with third party in a controlled way. Because PSD2 has two major security requirements. You have to make sure that your data are stored securely. You have to implement a secure authentication and authorization process. This is easy to cover, for example, with blockchain technology.
I think it's going to be interesting seeing what happens over the next few years. René, thank you for your time today.
Appreciate being here. Thank you so much.